Yeah.
Ah, new face.
What a beautiful day. It's just good, isn't it?
I was at a opening of a opening musical recital this afternoon.
You were one of the singers, weren't you?
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
Suffers from short-term memory loss. It's funny.
You were there. Yeah. It's opening. You were there. There's lots of openings happening, didn't there? You were there. There was a pry bar opening.
Yes.
Not an ordinary pry bar. An etched pry bar.
It's a pry bar.
Well, it's you could ask Pat Evans, and I think she'd actually show you what an etched pry bar looks like. Yeah, it's was about this long, and this end is like that with a prong, two prongs. And this end is flat, two prongs. It's very heavy. And you use it to take apart buildings.
Or pry bar.
Pry bar.
I thought it was some sort of musical instrument.
Depends on who's holding it. Depends on who's holding it, really. There are a lot of things there. It was quite an opening, wasn't it?
It was.
There was opening and opening and opening. Mm-hmm.
Had a pry bar.
Exactly. Yeah. Pry bar and the tools.
Yes.
And then the hot air balloons were landing when I was coming around Colonel By there.
Oh, you know? Wow. Well, that's great to see. Mm-hmm. It's that sound.
Yeah. I didn't have time to hear them, but I was watching them slowly deflate. I don't think you saw what they made me do in Australia, did you?
No.
That's awful.
No. It's almost criminal.
Oh. It's disgusting.
Did you?
Yeah. They pushed me off the mountain. This handsome guy was
I don't know.
And he had the control.
I don't know if there's any left. I don't know if there's any left. I don't think there are.
And he has a long string.
You know who just used
on a longer stick.
Yeah.
There aren't and any a camera.
There aren't any left.
At the end of the stick, and he keeps pulling the string up and then holding it and then saying, look at the camera! And we kept catching thermals and we're going up higher and higher.
Yeah,
like, I don't think this is a photo op, man. I think I look at the goals down there. So one of them, he says, look at the camera. And I look at the camera and I'm saying, I don't want to look at the camera. Snap. So I have a picture of myself being pissed off. You all have a picture of that. Now I have a picture. It's only right somehow.
It wasn't a hang glider.
Paragliding.
Paragliding.
Wow.
This art, form.
It's hard when you go to New Zealand, you know?
Yes. Yeah, right.
What have you?
I know. Those are the Southern Alps. Anybody who hasn't seen them, if I get boring, you just ask for the photo album. Move things right along.
Is that at Queenstown?
Queenstown.
Yeah.
Lakes all around it.
Mm-hmm. How did you land?
easily. Yeah, just come down and take a few steps and again. Getting off the ground was harder. You have to ride, you have to run off the side of the mountain.
With your buddy in tow?
Yeah, too. You start walking and then you walk faster and you end running. And you have to just run off, and which would be okay, but it's loose gravel. And I was wearing my old sandals that sometimes if the sidewalk is high and I'm not paying attention, the toe catches and I trip. And so I kept tripping on. So I fell 3 times. And like that, you know, the glider is starting to catch air. Like you could get bashed against the mountain. Like this is not good. So he got 2 of his buddies to run along and keep me going. Takes a lot of men to get an old lady out.
Isn't that a joke like that? How many men does it take to get
an old lady off? Get an old lady off? 3. Okay, I'm finished. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo, I name tassa, the state, bhagavato, blessedness, arahato, full victory over suffering. Sama, totally, sambuddhassa, with that state of being. So, do you have any questions, answers, comments, or complaints yet?
We just started.
I always ask at the beginning in case there's anything. Yeah.
I want to ask a question. I want to put it in a little bit of context.
Okay.
As I understand it, there are 3 languages that I know of that are religiously constructed, that have each letter has a meaning. Sanskrit, Tibetan, and Hebrew. Those are the ones I know.
What was the third?
Hebrew.
Yeah. Sorry. So when I've been doing sadhana work, I've had that in the back of my mind. And when we're visualizing a bija syllable like tongue or home, how important is it, if it's important at all, to visualize it in Tibetan or just in English?
Yeah, I don't know.
Thanks. I don't either.
I don't know, but I'll add English to your your list of 3. Mm. The alphabet? Mm-hmm. Where does alphabet come from?
Don't know.
Alpha, beta,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Greek.
Is that Greek?
Greek?
Yes.
Yeah.
Aleph.
A mm-hmm. is actually Aleph. Mm-hmm. There's his horns. That's the bull. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's his nose. Mm-hmm. That's his eye. His mm-hmm. eye would be there. He got turned upside up, sideways. Mm-hmm. Aleph is the bull. Why the bull? Because the bull was this wild beast mm-hmm. with his sharp hooves that would come around, especially in the spring, digging for the new shoots, mm-hmm. eating them like mad, picking up a few seeds and planting lots of fertilizer and new seeds. So when the spirit of the bull passed, new life came. So the Aleph was the sign of new beginnings. Mm. Ah. Beta. Beth. Half concealed, half revealed. The outer and the inner, the higher and the lower. Mm-hmm. Beth. C doesn't go there. Uh-huh. Daleth. Uh-huh. Same. The womb uh-huh. that contains the mystery, but you can't see it. Uh-huh. Trig knows all this stuff.
It's all the tarot.
Yeah. a lot of tarot is the study of alphabet. But the whole of the alphabet is actually symbols of energy. So you have basically circle, square, and semicircle. Some people say other things, but basically that's what you have. And so from the square, you would get the cross, right? Is the four sides put in a different order. And so forth. And so each of those had an energy. So each letter is actually an energy. Each word, even in English, has an energy to it. So if you can't do the Tibetan, you can do the English.
Can you do it in Hebrew?
You can do it in Hebrew. The actual Tibetan mantras from the in the Tibetan tradition, all of the mantras that are in any, we've been doing this a few classes now on sadhana and on arising yoga. Do those things mean anything to you, or are they totally, you've heard of arising yoga?
Yeah.
Wonderful. So that saves everybody from my long-winded description.
Thank you.
They will all be thanking you later. And you know what sadhana means?
Mm-hmm.
God, she's yes. This is wonderful. So I thought it might be useful in these classes to sort of talk about meditation and talk about why meditation is relevant, and then go through a sadhana and break it down so people had a better idea of what was being developed by it. So that's, we're in the last class of that. So you already know, so this is great. Well, you know the basic words, how I'm going to interpret it, who knows? So, when you read a Tibetan sadhana, a lot of the words, pretty well all of the images and all of the mantra are actually Sanskrit. They're not Tibetan. And a lot of people don't know that a lot of the Tibetans don't even understand what they mean. And they work with the energy of the sound. About one third of English is from Sanskrit. The roots of English. Yeah. I don't know about French. Do you have any idea?
I think it's the same. Because it's very close to English. Like about a third of French is the same as English.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But Sanskrit had a tremendous impact on languages everywhere. And some people will tell you, although I'm not sure whether a scholar would say this, that Pali is like a hybrid of Sanskrit.
Isn't it more, it's also the spoken.
That's spoken what version. Some people say, yeah. Whether a scholar would say that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So they say it's a hybrid.
And when you get into scholars, they don't even say that the Buddha actually spoke Pali as his native tongue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is what one of our scholars told us.
Mm-hmm. What did they tell us? If it wasn't Pali, what was it?
Oh, I can't remember.
Some obscure
some
Indian
details
dialect.
Just disappear because I'm not interested, you know?
Yeah.
The details that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, there's 17 of those and 32 of these.
That is so true.
Any other questions, answers, comments, or complaints?
So, just to follow up on that, if you're doing mantra work, then you should be saying it out loud. Should you be saying it out loud rather than internalizing it?
It's nice to start out loud and then go lower and lower, like a sort of a hum. At some point internally, it will still have a vibration. And it's nice sometimes just to belt it out like a blues singer. Or, you know, some kind of diva. Or deva, if you want. You
can you demonstrate it, how you go about that? Going low, low?
No, because I want to get on with this. We can... We'll get a few mantra in today. Well, who wanted a copy of that thing about... that you asked the question about this, didn't you, last time?
Yeah.
Anybody here wanted a copy of that, how to start a meditation? I have two, so...
Okay.
There you go. Only two people put their hands up. That's it.
Yeah.
Right number, okay. That's business, so we can carry on.
Great.
So we're on page 2, right?
Yes.
So you see the Tara in front of you, you've made the offerings to her. You understand what the offerings are, that they're actually from Indian tradition. And then you say praise to her. Homage to Arya Tara, at whose lotus feet gods and non-gods come to worship. Homage to Tara, mother of all Buddhas, you herald freedom from all limitations. Homage to Tara, beyond samsara deity, even seeing your form causes delight. The precious ornaments you wear shine in splendor like stars reflected by a beautiful white mountain. And then in response to both the offering and the prayer, then the figure in front of you, which is called the Jnana Buddha, Jnana figure, which means the wisdom being. And you, who you have imaged yourself as that being, and then you've invited that wisdom to come to you, and now you and you as Tara and that being now merge into one.
So are you the symbolic being?
You're the symbolic being. There's another word for it, but that'll do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you do the famous... index finger of your right hand, little finger of your left hand. Ja! Because you're hooking... with love. You know how we hook each other with love whenever we can. Sometimes we call it hugging. Ja! Loving kindness. And then you're going to make a chain. So you're going to do this with your arms, but you're just going to join the top of it. So you actually have to turn your hands back to back. Turn your hands back to back. And just cross your arms. Now turn your hands back to back. Yeah. Now you join up your index action, but this is what you're making where I'm looking through you. See? Yeah, that's right. That's home. That's a noose. I bet you didn't know that. Almost nobody knew that before yesterday.
That's right.
Both index finger, yeah. And you open the space a little bit there. Yeah, that's all. So you go like this. Ja, home. And that's the news, which is compassion. Compassion is surrounding something with spaciousness. So that's what the whole represents. What?
I'm just trying to seal your fingers.
Okay. But cross at the elbows more. Yeah, so that you can go back to back. And then you make sure there's a space between your wrists. That's it. Home. And then this would be a chain, the link of a chain, you see? You just actually overlap your fingers. Right. And so you do that like a bum. Which is sympathetic joy. Strong, binding you to what is true. When you use devotion, not for... duality, subject-object, not for self-grasping. But like St. John the Baptist poem that I read to you last night, for aspiration, it's a chain. Nothing can break it. When your devotion isn't for somebody to love you or to get a better car or, you know, do a really good meditation so you never have to come back or any of those things. But your devotion is just to always, no matter what or where or how, to be wrapped in divinity. However you want to say that. That's the chain of sympathetic joy. Because when you do that, then sympathetically you see everybody is. There's joy no matter what. And then the hammer. You take your two hands and you bang your wrists together. Ho. Ho. You can do this mudra or not. It really doesn't matter. Some people go like this. But it doesn't matter. But you're just two wrists. And that's like blowing everything to smithereens, which is equanimity. No thinging. Just a bunch of particles running around. God is a verb. So, ja, loving kindness, hum, compassion, bam, sympathetic joy, ho, equanimity. Nice, eh?
Yes.
Once more. Ja, hum, bam, ho. Wasn't that easy? Okay. Ja, hum, bam, ho. Ja, hum, bam. Ho. Now, different teachers in different schools sometimes vary it slightly. The meaning is always the same. The mantra is always the same. And you can do it any way you want to. This is like kind of the one that I've seen most commonly amongst all the schools. Ja. If you do it really fast, nobody notices what you're doing. You do that one, and then you do that one at the end, and then you do something.
It looks really funny.
Yeah. Ja.
So, what if you can't keep up?
You just practice a few times. It's not a problem. Yeah, you can do that one easy, can't you?
Yeah, but there was one that I got a funny stomach feeling, and I don't know, does that happen with this? That it activates things? Or?
It probably just meant you were about to awake and you want to try it again?
I don't know. I don't think I'm ready. I'm not ready.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, don't do it. Sorry. Everybody wants to trade places. It's the cushion she's on.
I thought it was the fish I ate. Anyway.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Okay. And so now that you see what you're doing is you're sealing your relationship with the deity by bringing your mind state into the four boundless states and your physical state into the boundlessness of earth, water, fire, and air. Because loving kindness is earth, compassion is fire, sympathetic joy, is water, compassion is water, sympathetic joy is fire, and equanimity is air. That is to say, when consciousness arises in form, it interweaves with in space with the four other elements. In space with the four other elements. The form, its consort, is space. Feeling, its consort, is earth. The five aggregates. Mm. Perception, the consort, is fire. What am I? Form, feel, perception. Mental formations, the consort, is air. And that's it, isn't it?
Consciousness.
What did I do? Consciousness, the five aggregates. Yeah. I forgot I was doing the five aggregates. Sorry. Consciousness consort is water. So when consciousness interacts with rebirth thinking karma, I remember that little diagram of the Dharmakara I did?
Yes.
That the rebirth thinking karma is above the Dharmakara and the elements are inside the Dharmakara. Remember that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it around?
Yes.
So, this is called a Dharmakara. This is a three-sided pyramid. You see this if you know much about Tibetan Buddhism. You see this when you see pictures of each of the little goddess deities when they represent the five senses. One of them will be holding a lute for hearing. One will be holding a mirror for seeing, one will be holding some nectar for tasting, and so forth, right? The one who represents mind is holding this. It's a three-sided pyramid. That badly drawn because, you know, I'm a talker, not an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why is it three-sided?
Because the Buddha said that ignorance, which you have to, in order to manifest something, you have to ignore everything else, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance is made of three things. There are three components to ignorance, to ignoring. One is craving, one is false view, and one is conceit.
Mm.
So craving, false view, and conceit are linked together, going round and round. You may not like those words, but there is some kind of craving.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is some sense of something to satisfy that craving, maybe this object. And then there is a sense of, I will do, or I will not do.
Mm-hmm.
So they come together, and it's a very primitive form of manifesting. But this is the birth of all manifestation.
Mm.
In the Buddhist tradition, this is, the Buddha called it, the womb of all manifestation. As I said last time, Saltram Alioni said it was the cervix of all manifestation. And you may be right about the Yali Kali alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she had a bet that I wouldn't get past the Yali Kali alphabet today because I thought I was going to finish the giving class from 2 days ago. So when you are ignorant of your ignorance, when you are ignorant of how you ignore,
mm-hmm.
when your ignorance is habitual,
mm-hmm.
it's going to keep going over the same ground because it feels right. I always put my left shoe on first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we always have fried eggs for breakfast. No, I never drive along that road. I always drive on this road. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We all know when we like to answer the phone, first ring or fifth ring, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
the thousand and one little things that we always do. And those are ignorance. And there are a billion reasons for any one of the habituations that we get into. There are a billion reasons for them. Billions, billions, billions. And to actually be able to see how you habituate in little ways now and then without it being a big crisis is very useful. Because
mm-hmm.
then you can practice doing what Gurdjieff so brilliantly said, never go the same way twice.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So even if you're walking down the same street, you don't go the same way. You put your weight a little more, you know,
mm-hmm.
bend your knees at a slightly different angle, look up instead of down, go by listening rather than hearing, yeah?
But you never do go the same way.
No, I know, but your mind does.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind does. He wasn't talking about it. He was talking about habituation.
Habituation.
Not being present. Not being present. So in some ways, when you say you never even go the same way once, you could be talking about the fact that you're never going where you're going, or that you're actually going. So when you actually see the craving as craving, you see it comes into being and it passes away. And then you notice that there is this kind of clarity of being able to see it. Then the craving becomes clarity. Then the false view, you notice that it is without any real identity of whatever it is that you think is going to satisfy, or whatever, or you're going to get away from. And you see it as emptiness. And then the whatever the conceit is that's arising based on those two is then non-dual wisdom. So this is the cervix, as Saltram Alioni said, or the womb, as the Buddha said, of either samsara or nirvana. It's not that you change this, it's you change your relationship to it. So the Buddha said, there is suffering, but no one suffering. I think it's just amazingly beautiful. Right? So when you have the Dharmakara in meditations, in the Tibetan meditations, sometimes you just have it with one of the deities holding it. And sometimes you're given a meditation where you image the void nature, and then you image what they call the protective wall or the iron wall, or there are various names for it. And that basically is the nothing is called ayatana consciousness. And then when the protective wall comes, that's the very rudimentary sense of self. And then within that comes the Dharmakara. The Dharmakara suddenly arises, pinky on the inside, white on the outside. And inside of it are the four elements. Yum, rum, bum, lum. And above that is some symbol of the wheel, eightfold path wheel, or a broom, you know, the potentiality of the building. It's actually sort of like the architectural possible plans. And then above it comes the rebirth thinking karma, Oma Ho, with a ho at either end. And if you look closely, you'll see that ho is upside down. That ho is right side up. You can see the difference, okay? Very clear, isn't it?
Oh, amazing.
I am so good at writing this.
Where does it manifest?
Never mind yet, Carol. Don't go there. Don't go there yet. Yeah, it's okay. What you're doing is you're practicing the awareness of rebirth. And so maybe it doesn't even manifest like this, but these symbols actually trigger your mind to be aware in the time.
So this is what you said last night about building the form before
yeah.
it happens.
Yeah. So you image this happening, then rebirth linking karma comes into the Dharmakara, the whole thing merges together, and whatever it is, the question or the statement, the desire that created the impulse to come into form again, bonds with the elements, arises in space. And the body form, the broom, the body form is appropriate to that desire. So maybe in my next lifetime I will be a great singer. Pardon?
Why not?
Yeah. Or not. or a mosquito, perhaps. They sing pretty well.
Yeah. Why do we use in English the word emptiness?
Because it's empty of fixed identity. It is without a fixed identity. It isn't a noun, it's a verb. So you try to say, it's this, no, that's not it. It's this, it's not a this. It's thinging, not think. Emptiness is basically, if you look at good texts, they don't, empty is a short form, but usually it says empty of inherent identity. Because it is like the old saying from mythology, the water of all possibility. Your consciousness is actually the water of all possibility. Like Jungian archetypes. All possible if the circumstances are right. So thinking of it like a verb is useful. Now, are you just trying to win your bet?
No,
it's...
No. Okay.
Wait a second.
Because his class is going till midnight.
Fine with me. Fine with me. You win. I've always wanted to really ask this question, why the word emptiness? And for me, sometimes I think of solidity, like looking and saying, okay, there is something in me that looks solid and examined. The solidity
dissolves.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And keep examining.
Keep examining.
And there is like a grasping after solidity.
That's
after
right.
Solidity.
That's
so
right.
That's a vocabulary that.
Yeah, it's how our intellect works, our ego structure works mm-hmm. with things. Mm-hmm. And we start actually believing that things are it. We actually think enlightenment is it, or mm-hmm. a teacher is it.
Mm-hmm. And it's solid.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. because
and then
fingers.
And then that I am safe,
yeah.
because I have that I am mm-hmm. safe, and that profound quality of like actually seeing how much we cling to our meanings, mm-hmm. which is how I started these talks,
yeah.
by saying I know very few people, myself included, mm-hmm. that really are willing to let go of their meanings. Mm. Very few. And I am probably a little more able to do it on my good days mm-hmm. than almost everyone I know. Mm. I don't think it's easy because we want the right answer. We want something to fit into our life. Mm-hmm. And if you really understand what Buddhism is teaching, mm-hmm. it's saying every one of your answers are going to dissolve. Mm-hmm. Who are you then?
Mm-hmm. Where is Jesus? Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's a good one.
Mm. Where's Jiva?
So how was I going? Oh yeah, I was talking about why the Jahum Bamhol, which I still haven't got past that, was still on page 2. Mm-hmm. Why it is not only the emotional energy of loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, but it's also the universe, not separate from self, letting go of all boundaries, all earth, outer, inner, earth. When you are united with all earth, all water, all fire, all air, right? When you are deity, there is no separation. Okay? Then you are the unborn, aren't you?
Hmm? Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am dying of love, darling. What should I do? And the beloved responded, and die, my sweetheart. Just die. Die to all that is not us. What could be more beautiful? Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. St. John of the Cross, I was, by the way. Mm-hmm.
In a place of great, abhorrent condition.
Yeah. The Buddhist teaching says we are all in that place. Mm-hmm. But we have real good ability to kind of dress it up. What is it? One of the Tibetan sayings, dancing and singing all the way to the graveyard. Mm-hmm. Party! All the way to the graveyard. So that's what you're doing when you're Jahum Bamhol. Becoming the universe and boundless consciousness, dancing either in loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, or equanimity.
And these are the Dhyani Buddhas.
The Dhyani Buddhas are the five aggregates in an enlightened form, mm-hmm. in an enlightened consciousness. As an enlightened consciousness would manifest the aggregates, it would be the Dhyani Buddhas.
and they each have a card sort of one of the elements.
Mm.
It's neat, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite the statement, you know, when consciousness arises in form.
Yeah. It is. The syllable time at my heart suddenly melts and reappears as a white eight-spoked wheel. So remember the eight-spoked wheel that could be there on top mm-hmm. of the in the Dharmakara mm-hmm. on top of the elements?
Mm-hmm.
This is the wheel of existence, and it's also the wheel of Dharma. The wheel has five rims of mantra, three on the actual outer rim, so three on the outer rim. So you imagine it. Do you want me to draw it, or you got it? Okay.
The hub's in the middle.
Okay, I got it.
Ooh. Is it helpful to you at all?
Oh, yeah. This is it, right there. Okay. So three are on the outer rim. And one. This is the outer rim. Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
So three rings of mantra on the outer rim. Whose is this? You actually Xeroxed that, huh? Gosh.
Becky did.
I'm an artist. I made a sign copies.
At the retreat in Edmonton, I was signing copies of Body, Speech, and Mind. I signed like 18 of them. Oh no. Okay, enough of that. Enough about me, let's talk about me. A white eight-spoked wheel that in nature is the wisdom symbolized by Tara, because Tara is the nature of the wisdom of all that comes into being and passes away. White Tara is the wisdom of the Dharmakara energy, not in its active form, but the being state, the water of all possibility. Mm-hmm. That all possible things arise when you do Tara, which is why she's used for long life or for illness. Because by doing Tara, you start to pull on other than what is manifest in this lifetime. Rinpoche one time, my beloved teacher Namgyal Rinpoche said one time that Tara was like pulling on the DNA of your ancestors. Mm. And in a way, that's true. But not only your daddy and mummy ancestors, but all possibility.
Mm.
So you make a prayer and you do Tara, and it will pull that into the manifest. Neat, eh?
Can you do that then on behalf of someone else?
You bet your sweet Bippy.
So that would be helpful for someone going through crisis.
Yeah, you would just imagine them sitting in front of you, or you just do Tara and then you start adding them as part of the prayers. You imagine her sitting above their head, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's often used to pray for others. So, the wheel has five rims of mantra, three on the actual outer realm of the wheel, one on the hub. That's the hub. And the fifth on the spokes. That's the spokes. Okay. At the hub, your name. Usually it's just your initial. Sometimes it can be your initials. Usually it's just your initial. Because you know what that means. You just have to put your initial, and it will bring, because your energy will be with it, it will mm-hmm. be that. Is interspersed between the mantric syllables om and hum. So here it is, om, and then your initial or your name or, you know, and then hum in the center. So this is going to be the focus point for the turning mm. of the wheel. So you can put somebody else's name in there, you do it for yourself, and then you can put somebody else's name in there. Or you do it for yourself, and then you send it from yourself to someone else. There's a lot of ways to do it. The inner of the three rim mantras is the 16 vowels of the Sanskrit alphabet, which circle to the left counterclockwise. And to get terribly esoteric on you, they represent the 16 stages of emptiness, mm-hmm. which I'm not going to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm. Some other time, perhaps.
Yeah. Delighted to. Mm-hmm. You know, I answer great. Questions.
Is there a book you could refer to that one could do a little more investigation about, seeing as emptiness is...
Well, send me an email and I'll send you the saying, hey, it says the 16 emptinesses, mm-hmm. and I'll send it back.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, those kind of emails I answer very fast.
Oh,
mm. And see, I already got your email. The inner of the three rims, oh yeah, I did that. Oh yeah, the inner of the three rim mantras is the 16 vowels of Sanskrit alphabet, which circles to the left. Sixteen stages of emptiness. Sometimes,
Just the pronunciation, like they're not exactly the same.
The second one is always breathing, a long one. Like if it had a what do you call that accent? It's a bar above it. So it would be the second one, each one you put a bar above.
Good start. Don't have it, but I got enough to look.
You can see here. See, that's just a bar.
Oh, yeah, no, it's got that.
Okay, well, that'll tell you everything. And it is on this beautiful drawing here. They're written that way. Okay. On the eight spokes near the hub stand the middle eight syllables of Tara's 10-syllable mantra. Ta re tu ta re tu re swa. Just the middle ones, the first one and the last one.
Why?
It's a 10-syllable mantra, so you only have eight.
Why is the first one and the last syllable missing?
Because it's not actually. You've got that as a hum here, but
right.
It's...
Right.
Oh.
Hmm?
The hum is sort of a ha. So, om, ta, re, tu, ta, re, tu, re, swa. Om.
Okay. Mm. So that's
om,
okay.
Hum. Sometimes that's a ha instead of a hum. But in this case, I'm not arguing for a change. The central of the three outer rims bears the 34 consonants.
Which central?
Okay, the center of the rim ones. The center, the middle rim one.
Middle one.
Okay. See, that's the inner rim, that's the middle, and that's the outer rim. There's three on the rim. Got that? Everybody got that? Anybody unclear about that?
Yeah.
That tare was the middle.
That tare, tutare, tuve, soha is on the spokes.
On the spokes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now we're going to do the middle one, the middle rim one.
The 34. Why is there 34 head of significance?
You bet you're a sweet
bitch. I thought it was.
And I even brought a piece of paper with one of my notes so you'll know I'm telling the truth.
Oh, good.
Not because it's in my handwriting, but I actually wrote the name of the book that I wrote it down for some time ago. And I have been using it quite a lot the last few years.
Could you give us the name of that
book? I will get there. You just have to wait. You know how I am. You difficult. Okay, so the central of the three outer rims bears the 34 consonants, which circle to the right. So the vowels circle to the left, and the consonants circle to the right.
Why?
We're going to get there too, Anas. I'm just pointing it out to you. Okay, so they are in kakagang kakagang chajjan yat tadana tadana papa papa maya bala vasa shasahakshaswa. So it's kakagaga na cha cha ja cha nya. That's a nya.
Are they all nyas?
Yeah.
No.
Ta ta da da n, slight n, a dot under the n for that one. Ta ta da da n. Now this one's just na. Ta ta da da na. So the first one is a kind of a shorter ta ta da da n, and then ta ta da da n, na, just na. Nah.
No.
Papa babama. Yara la wasa sha saha ksha. So that's sha with a little dot under the S, I think. And then I think I'm this way I'm pronouncing it. Sha with accent aigu over the S. And then an ordinary sa. So it's sha sha saha.
Sa, sha,
sha. Sa, slight, slight, sa, and then sha,
sa,
sha,
sha,
sa,
sha,
ha, sa, sha, sa, ha, and then ksha, ksha. I think that's better than psha or tis. I like ksha. Swaha! There you go. Kakakakang, chachachan, yet touch the dun, touch the dun, papa baba, ma, yerala was a shasaha, sha, swaha. Alright, so these represent the dissolvings of past patterns. They are from the chanting the names of Manjushri. This is chanting the names of Manjushri. I can't remember what page. It's in the introduction. You know that book, Chanting the Names of Manjushri? It's a classic. You have a, it's okay. Maybe if people want to see it after the class, that'd be great. And the introduction, it has this lovely little thing. And in many, many of the more complicated meditations in the Tibetan tradition, you will find the vowels and consonants written, and they're always going in a wheel somehow or other, mm-hmm. somewhere in the meditation, and sometimes they will be going clockwise one, counterclockwise the other, and so forth. So they represent basically the first five represent the five aggregates. The next five represent the five elements. The next five represent the five sense objects.
Oh my God, that's so stupid.
Yes. Slightly different, but yes.
Yeah.
So, what you got here is you got the five aggregates. You got the energy of the five aggregates dissolving. Kakagaganga. And then the five elements dissolving. And then you got the five sense objects dissolving. The energy for them coming into the heart from the male and then from the female. So what this is doing is this is dissolving the old patterns of the formation of this rebirth. That's what it's doing in energy. And then the going up, so one coming down, then one going up, and then resting in the heart. I'm not going to go into it in detail because I don't want Brenda to win the bet. It is fascinating. And if you get borrow or Trig will read for you, but I will just read it quickly. It's called also sometimes the four joys. For example, in the Vajrasattva mantra, mm-hmm. ha, 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 and then hope.
Yeah.
It's also called, this is the dissolving of the elements, and the dissolving of the outer consciousness before the dissolving of the elements before death. That some of you have done some study on death, rebirth, and things like that. There's also the experience of letting go of the sense of self and then coming to a new understanding when you have a truly transcendent experience. So what you're basically practicing is awakening here. You're practicing how to awaken. Okay, I'm going to let go of subject-object by first of all dissolving my usual identity with form, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness. And dissolving the usual passions that cause me to be caught up in them, represented by the five elements. And dissolving the habitual relationship to the sense objects that are the mind, right? The mind's story. And then turning that around and going the other way, basically. Okay? Is that interesting to you?
Yes.
So you may or may not experience that when you're in Kakarakana. You may or may not. But even the idea that can sometimes cause you to more watch inside when you're doing this practice. Or think that maybe when you're doing this for someone else that you're helping them let go of the patterns that cause them so much pain. You can't really do a lot about whether you're going to live or die, but you can do a lot about what state you're going to live or die in. Mm-hmm. And from my point of view, that's really what we're working for. I did tell you, didn't I, that I got hit by a truck when I was going to drink six beers with my friends when I was 16? You do know that, don't you? Like, we were just going to play hooky, you know. I had it all planned out. And my mother was thrown off the scent, which wasn't easy with my mother. Everything was fine, you know. The three of us, we had spent a long time. We finally got somebody to buy us six bottles of beer. We were ready. We had it stashed at one of my friend's houses, running for the bus. The light was green, ran right into the instruction. A truck hit me. You just don't know. I was 16. You're immortal when you're 16, aren't you?
Yes.
You just don't know. But what kind of mind state do you want to be in? A little stroke, a little cancer cell, a little food poisoning. You never know. A little mosquito bite. Oops. You never know. So what is it that's your great dream that you're going to go to someday? Where are you now? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you do this kind of practice with that sense that I'm also practicing so I can be here. Because mm-hmm. maybe this is the moment the meteorite's going to strike. Mm-hmm. Rather than planning. Here. You'll be surprised how much your joy increases yes. in your life by thinking that way. And now the outermost rim. Bears the mantra of interdependent origination. It's not the mantra. It isn't that.
This is wrong.
And
it's what's on there.
It's on this piece of paper. And I forgot to ask Pat to give me the copy of that, lend me that copy I sent her of the booklet.
Do you want the copy of the mantra then?
No, I wanted the copy of the booklet because it's called something else and I can't quite remember what the mantra is called. It's sometimes called the mantra of great wisdom or something like that.
It's called something in here, it says it.
Okay. All right, then I'll take that book. I don't have to like it. Okay, I'll like it. If you find a name, I will like it.
The essence of relativity.
That's not it, but that's not quite it. No, because it's not relativity. It's the same as the Buddha at the beginning of the Heart Sutra. When the Buddha was coursing in the deep, the Buddha was sitting there contemplating, what was it? The profound wisdom of I've forgotten.
That's
Rinpoche talking about Avalokiteshvara.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting your... Yeah, anyway. Sorry, my mind is blanking on that. This is Paticca Samuppada, but that's not what the mantra is. The mantra is, and you got your pens? Om. Anybody need a pen? Close. I threw it badly.
I called it that.
There you go, we're matched. Om. Mm-hmm. Ye. Dharma. Hetu.
Oh. Hetu.
I don't know the spelling, so I'm probably going to need to... I can blast it off with it.
Yeah,
Hetu is root. H-E-T-U. Prabhava. P-R-A-B-H. Long A-V-A. Prabhava. Hetun. H-E-T-U-N.
Hetun.
H-E-T-U-N. Teshan, T-E-S with a dot underneath it. But then they put an H in here anyway in case you didn't get that. S-H, a long A-N. Teshan. Tathagato. Yeah, T-A-T-H, long A. G-A-T-O. And they broke this up, but it shouldn't be Hyavada, which is heart, H-Y-A-V-A-D-A. Hyavada, H-Y-A-V-A-D-A, means heart. Ta, T-A.
Can you pronounce Hyavada again?
Hyavada.
Hyavada.
Mm-hmm. Ta. Ta. I don't like this. They've
broken that thing.
I don't like this.
Om
Yidharma Hetu Prabhava Hetun Teshan Tathagata Hevada Ta Teshan Cha. Yeah, so I got it now. T-E-S-H-A-N. And then cha, C-H-A, and then yo. Actually, hiwada ta is the end of a sentence.
Mm-hmm. And then the next sentence is Teshan Cha Tata Teshan Cha Yo Nirodha
and
Nirodha N I R O D H A A Wam E V A M Wadi V A long A D I Maha M A H long A Shramana S H R A M A N A and they got N A H Yay Y E Swaha Swaha. And it is the translation of that most commonly is Om of Dharmas, of phenomena which arise from cause. The Tathagata has proclaimed the cause. First sentence. And their cessation, the truth-telling, great being, Swaha.
Can you repeat that, please?
Om of Dharmas, which arise from cause. The Tathagata has proclaimed that cause. And their cessation. The truth-telling great being. Swaha. The story is that there were these two guys who were really good buddies, and they were going around everywhere trying to find a teacher, and they were checked out most of the teachers around. And then they said, well, you know, I heard there's a teacher over there, and I've heard there's a teacher over there. Well, I promise you, if I find a great teacher, I'll come and get you or send word. And yeah, I promise you the same. So they're looking individually, and they're... And one of them comes across this guy, and he says hello to him, and the guy says hello, and he says, any teachers around? He says, yeah, there's a really great teacher just in the field over there. And he says, oh, what does he teach? And he said, Om Ye Dharma He Tu Prabhava He Tu Nte Shan Tathagata Hewadata Te Shan Chayo Nirodha Ewam Wadi Maha Samana Maha Shramana Yeswala. And the man understood immediately and awakened. Achieved stream entry. Because what he's saying is of phenomena that arise from cause, to look at the cause, not to be grasping after the future. But the Abhijja Pachaya Sankara Sankara is saying dependent on ignorance arises formation
right,
is
yeah,
dependent on,
yeah.
and then when, and going forward and going back, it is like a state, a formula of a mind, one mind moment. Mm-hmm. But this one, if you look at, do you have the last issue of Buddha Dharma?
Yeah,
magazine. Could I see it?
Like spring 2005. Or summer 2005.
Summer, I think.
I think it's this one. It's this one.
Yeah. I get a commission for selling these. Send them. As much ice cream as I can eat all summer. I'm cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this letter was so beautiful because when I read the article by He Who Shall Be Nameless, except it's in this red letter I'm going to write you, about the tsunami, I was offended.
by the article. And then we have this beautiful letter by Achan Suchito. Mm-hmm. I sympathize with any attempts to offer consolation for the recent tsunami catastrophe, including Robert Thurman's piece in the latest issue of Buddha Dharma, quote, The Consolation of Karma, end quote, spring 2005. Mm. Then he says, personally, I doubt whether anyone coming to terms with the loss of life, family, and livelihood will be appeased by reflecting on the notion that, quote, they must have done something bad in a previous lifetime to have this happen, end quote. This might merely add guilt and depression to one's already overwhelming grief. Moreover, the sentiment that, quote, anything bad that happens to you is a resonance of something bad that you perpetrated in a previous life, end quote, is not an accurate presentation of the Buddha's teaching on karma. In the Samyutta Nikaya, which is the Connected Discourses, 36:21, get your copy out and read along with me. I'll tell you when to say hallelujah. The Buddha is reported as saying, now listen to this. This is more like what Omyidharma Hetu Prabhava means, okay? Some feelings arise based on phlegm, based on internal winds, based on an imbalance of bodily humors, from the change of the seasons, from uneven care of the body, from assaults, from the result of karma. That some feelings arise from the result of karma, one can know for oneself, and everyone understands that to be true. So any contemplatives or sages who are of the doctrine and view that whatever an individual feels, pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain, is entirely caused by what was done before, overstep what they themselves know. Mm. Isn't that beautiful? Mm. And what is agreed on by people in general. Mm-hmm. It's like not common sense. Therefore, I say that those contemplatives or sages are wrong. The Buddha. Mm-hmm. From this, we could understand natural disasters, getting run over or mugged, etc., as coming under the heading of assaults. However, although there is no specific connection between this life disaster and past life unskillfulness, there is a general reminder that if you hadn't been born, then you wouldn't have had to experience this. Isn't this a beautiful letter? Mm-hmm. Thus, there is still the incitement for liberation to curtail a future birth in this danger zone. Mm-hmm. And if that still sounds too righteous and finger-wagging, there is also the reminder that the arahats only experience physical pain, not mental grief, from the Samyutta on feeling, which is another incitement to practice in the here and now rather than lament over the past. Mm-hmm. After all, look at all the people who didn't get hit by the tsunami. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me they were innocent.
Beautiful.
Thank you. So it's more in that line than in the analytical. And it's like, those dharmas which arise from cause, the Tathagata has proclaimed the cause. He's saying his mind is as large as the universe, or bubble verse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That huge. That there is no subject-objectness. And he is saying that with such a lion's roar, that someone hearing that he said that, who has done a lot of work, suddenly understands, and subject-object is smashed.
So this is a very profound and beautiful mantra.
Can you say it one more time?
Om Yadharma Hetu Prabhava Hetunte Shan Tathagata Yamagata Tushan Shayo Narodha Vimam Vavi. What is that? Forgotten it right in the middle of it. Shramana Yeswa. I used to say it every day in Thailand. All these letters are extremely bright and flicker forth. I hate that. They flicker. and flickering waves of light stream from them in the radiantly stream from them. Why is this froth everywhere? I don't like froth in my writings. I hate froth. I don't. So touch your heart, get along with. Shut up, you old bitch. Just read it. From all the letters and from the wisdom wheel shine white lights. Okay, now I'm going to practice saying it.
No cappuccino. Latte.
My body is filled with the nectars. With the nectar, I think, the nectar of immortality. And white light emanates from each pore of my body to form an aura. She asked me to. A span. See, in that text that I sent to Pat that you can borrow from her, it tells you an amount.
A span. It was a hand width.
Was it a hand width?
That was what we were using with the first text.
Yeah. And it can increase more, but when you start, it's a span. And then it can go out to an arm's length.
Oh, it can.
Yeah. Right. Or a hand width in radius around me. And then the white radiance shining from your body accomplishes the activity of pacifying illness, evil forces, negative karmic energies, tsunamis, mental alterations, and hindrances to now until the completion of the lifespan. Yellow light sends shine forth. They form a shell of yellow light outside of the white. Contemplate that longevity and spiritual energy is thus generated, and all activities of increase. Red lights now emanate from the wheel and letter. They form a shell outside the yellow, thus accomplishing all activities of power. Blue lights shine forth, form a shell of light outside the red. They accomplish. Are these actually the translations from that text? I know that text, but what about the one I sent to Pat?
What I'm finding is there's a very interesting misunderstanding that's clearly gone on over a few months. But it's different. This is written differently in the text you sent, the original one you sent.
Yeah. The original one I sent. What do you mean by that?
Well, there was that text, and then you referred to this text, which Pat interpreted as this was the one you...
No, I sent one in the mail to her.
Yes.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've got that on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's different. It is described differently.
Yeah.
And you.
I would have to meditate with both of them.
Yeah, it's got the Udipala flowers that are consciously there.
Yeah, in between.
This one brings it in at the end.
Yeah. It's easier to do them. I mean, quite often they do them at the end, but Tibetans do visualizations like that. They do the color and then they do the detail later.
Right. Whereas the one you sent where the detail was in there, I found easier to work with.
Yeah. See, that one I've done a lot. And this, I've never done it with these colors quite described this way.
Yeah.
The wording is slightly different too. So I would have to sit with this. I'd have to do this for maybe 2 or 3 months before I could really see what it is between the two words that they're talking about in English, but that's just me, and you didn't come here to hear me have a discussion, so shall we continue with the backstory? I like doing a practice for a while before I will try to describe it, you know, to, I think it's only right, eh? And the other one I did for quite a while, so.
Phil, can I ask a question now, just quickly?
Yeah.
These different lights that, you know, you've got a hand span out is the white light, and then it goes the yellow, the red.
And then another hand span from the white light,
so between
yellow, and then a hand span from the yellow, the red, and then a hand span. So at the edge of the white now, then the yellow starts.
Okay, so...
And on the edge of the yellow, then the red starts.
Okay, so there is no gap between these lights.
You don't get too much in detail. What they do in the Tibetan tradition, for example, if they say, Chenrezig appears above my head, the forearm Chenrezig appears above my head, and it says his body is white. So you got this sort of rough figure for forearm, maybe. And then you go, oh yeah, his body is white. And then you go back and fill in the details. So what they usually do in Tibetan visualizations is they go the general, get a general feeling, and then you go back and go the details. So that's what they're doing here. Color, 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 and then you go for the details of the upala flower. And so then, like, if you're doing a meditation for a period of time, if you're doing, like, this practice or something for a period of time, then what you're taught to do is, when you do a retreat with somebody on it, you're taught that, first of all, you just do it as it is. And then after 3 or 4 days, then you take the meditation. And then when it says, I become Tara with so many eyes or something, the first day you really focus on her two eyes. And then you do the other ones really quickly. And then the second sit of that day, you focus on her two eyes, but then you focus on the eye in her forehead. And then you do the rest really quickly. And then you focus on the two eyes in your hands. And then you do the rest, and then you focus. So each day, 4 sits, usually, a day, you take a different aspect of the things that are introduced, and you go in some, you really, the whole meditation, you're interested in how that eye feels when you're doing the colors, or whatever. So by the time you've done like a 2 or 3 week retreat, you have gone in detail over everything she's wearing, over, you know, all her hands, or, you know, everything about her. You have actually done a little detail for at least 1 sit every day somewhere. So at the end of going through all the details of how many hands they have or what they're holding, you do 1 really strongly and you sort of blah, blah, blah the others, and then blah, very strongly, blah, 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 you know, and so forth, right? So at the end, then when you say she's there, it's amazing how quickly that visualization just is right there, because you have some personal meaning with it. You know? Then those images start to work more in dream and in your depth. But quite often people try to get it all at once, and it doesn't work. I mean, for some people it might, excuse me, it might work, but for most people it doesn't. So it's nice to, like, detail, and then detail, and then... Is that useful?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How's our time? 10 minutes to finish it. Okay, Charlie.
Tomorrow,
we're And this is where I really owe you all an apology in Ottawa, because I did this meditation, as I said, for quite a while. I did this meditation, well, not quite a while, for about 6 months. I did quite a lot of it. And then, I don't know if you remember, this was probably about 14 years ago, one of the times I came to Ottawa. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Oh yeah, it was probably 15 or 16 years ago. After Carlisle, but anyway, I decided that purple was wrong. So I remember at Colleen and Jan's house, I did a puja there, and we did this meditation, and I gave out copies of it, and I understand there are still copies out around of me rewriting it.
And I want to tell you how dangerous it is to rewrite something because you don't understand it. So isn't that interesting that you don't know what brown eggplant blue is? Isn't that interesting? I wonder what it could be.
Well, no, I know what eggplant is. It's just I have never seen that.
That's before. What I mean. You don't know it.
No.
I'm saying you don't know eggplants from zucchinis. And you don't know it there.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't know it. Yeah, that's right. Gee, I wonder what would happen when you do it. You see? It's like quite wonderful. Rather than me and my eruditeness 15 years ago, because you know how brilliant I was then.
Oh, you were cheering.
Yeah, it's age. Losing a lot of my brilliance. And I often find that some of my peers also tend to rewrite slightly the sadhanas because they don't think one part is necessary or another part. And it's nice to keep the old copies because maybe it will be very useful for you to learn what insight they got from the way they wrote it, what insight, whatever it was, I got from rewriting it. I can't even remember it now. That's how important it was. It's nice to have that advantage of not only the old copy, but also how somebody who's done a lot of work has worked with it. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Mm-hmm. But it's really nice for you to go back to be able to work with what they worked with. Because maybe your insight will be different. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. And these are like hundreds of years old, which means they probably worked for some reason. So it's always worth honoring what gets passed down, as well as the brilliance of the latest model. I just wanted to put that in, so thanks for bringing up eggplant. Because that's the one I changed last time.
So should we have this just for ground?
I asked Lama Chodak Rinpoche, and he said it's sort of a purpley. So this is just fine.
Okay.
I said puce, but Pat didn't like that name.
Yes.
Because she actually has a copy of that one that I did.
Yes, and she actually typed it out. I have a soft copy of it now.
What, of the one that I did years, 16 years ago?
The one that you sent out, that you sent to her?
No, the other one that I did 16 years ago. She actually has a copy of that.
Well, she hasn't shared that with me.
Yeah, good. I told her to burn it. And if she knew anybody else who had it, to apologize to them. It's nice to know when you're an asshole, you know. Why was that funny? Oh, oops. Green lights now radiate forth, forming a shell of light outside the blue and accomplishing, blue lights. Accomplishing wrath, green lights, accomplishing all the various activities. Because green is the color of air. And air is the color of activity. Right? Air is the vibration. Mm-hmm. So anything that moves, whether it's fire, water, earth, it's moving because the power of air in it. So that's why it's all activity, the various activities. Mm-hmm. And why Amoga City is called the wisdom of all accomplishing wisdom. Finally, brown, purple, eggplant,
puce,
lights emanate forth and form a shell of light outside the green. Meditate that thus all the activities are made firm. I would put this, if you're going to put this later, I would put this sentence before the previous sentence. I would put between each of these shells of light are countless tiny, fully blossomed Utpala flowers. Utpala is a blue lotus. Beautiful blue color. So blue flower petals. So that not a space remains. The lights themselves are so firm that even the fire at the end of time could not affect them.
Meditate that you and or those who look to you for protection are thus placed inside the ring of six auras without falling into mental wanderings. The best of Irish luck. Recite the mantra of increase while meditating that lights emanate forth from the syllables. This mantra of increase should be recited 108 or however many times possible. Om Tare Tutare Mama Ayu Punya Jnana Pushtum Kuru Swaha. And is that different slightly than?
There's a yay two. Swaha that came with the other one.
And there isn't one more Ture? Tare Tutare
Ture Mama.
Oh yeah, Om Tare Tutare Ture Mama Ayu Punya Jnana Pushtum Kuru Swaha.
Yeah, we.
Kuru yay. Yeah, does the yay?
Yeah, I mean, I miss the yay.
Yeah. La, la, la.
Does it matter?
And when you're saying it anyway, you leave off, you say the first one, you say the om and the swaha, but then after the third one, you just go tari to tari to re, mama, you put me down and push to kuru. And then at the end again of the rosary, you pick up the om and swaha again. Usually. They do. You know them?
Yeah.
They do. Then recite the other mantras at least one time each, beginning with those on the inside of the wheel. The inner mantra, Om Cecily. Om Trudy. Om Trig. Right? Feel each recitation. Tare to tare to re swa. Kaka kaga ma chachan. Ta 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 da. Ta 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 da. Pa 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 pa. Yarada was shasa. Shasa. Gedana hetuva hetundeshan tatagata devadatta deshan jayo virudha evam vadi mahashramana isvaha. It's beautiful. At the conclusion, visualize that the layers of light dissolve into one another. Beginning from the brown on the outside, the entire visualization gradually dissolves into the wheel of wisdom. Request the wisdom being aspect of yourself as the deity to return to its natural abode. And dedicate the root of merit. Then visualize yourself as a transcendental deity, Tara. Actually, why do you dedicate the root of merit there?
That was my question.
You don't?
It's in... So should we just move that to elsewhere?
I would.
Okay.
And you don't ask, wait a minute, entire visualization gradually dissolves into the wheel of wisdom. And the wheel of wisdom should dissolve. And you sit in the emptiness. And then you visualize yourself. Wait a minute. No, let me think. No, this is okay. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do the merit there. Request the wisdom being aspect of yourself as a deity to return to its natural abode.
Period.
Yeah. I wouldn't, but let's just finish it and then on. Okay. Then visualize yourself, and so then you're sitting there as you again, and then visualize yourself as a transcendental deity, Tara. So what you're doing here again is what I said, but in a very crude form that you do in a lot of highest yoga tantras, is that you image your rebirth as deity. Mm. So this is like a little precursor to that, where you're asking, okay, now that I have done the deity dissolving, I would like to be able to recall that in my life. So it's practicing giving yourself the power of the undying, unborn, undying in your ordinary form. Mm. While you've just freshly finished the meditation, then you do it again, just for the habit of it. You're good? Mm-hmm. Concentrate on Om, Ah, Om. And then you again meditate that lights emanate forth and that's not an ad.
Yes, it's an and.
And summon the mandala of venerable white Tara into the space before you, and you invoke the wheel again. And no, this is just the Tara herself. Mm-hmm. And the mandala of venerable Tara is just the Tara. It's mm-hmm. called the mandala. Make the visualized offerings again, water for drinking, water for washing, mm-hmm. two waters, an ocean of caring, flowers, good qualities, so forth. And then conclude by reciting a rosary of the mantra of increase, Om Tari Tritari Tare Mama Ayu Kuni Chinyana Pushtam Kari Yeswa. Thus is untimely death avoided. And then do the sharing of the merit. Yeah. That's how I've done it.
It says the sign of accomplishment, the practice is that you'll dream of seeing a stupa or tsat images. What's a tsat?
Those little tiny stupa kind of things that you make sometimes. Were you at the Dharma Center when, what was her name? Beautiful.
Punyanandi
was making all kinds of them when she came back from India. Tiny little stupa things. Little ones, so you make a whole bunch of them with as offerings, or and so it's a mm-hmm. a way to gather merit.
And you make them from?
You can make them from all kinds of things. You can make them from clay. You can make them from bread. You must have tzatzas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. There's a tzatza. Well, that's one kind of tzatza. Often yeah. they're just like little stupas.
Yeah, I've got one on my shrine.
Yeah. So they're like little, rough little stupas, and so you have a mold, and you just do hundreds of them, and while you're making them, you put medicine seeds in them, mm-hmm. and you do mantra, and mm-hmm. so it's a meditation to make them, and you make hundreds of them, and then you would put them in a stupa, or you would give them to people, you know, because you did a retreat, making these for the benefit of all beings. Yeah, definitely. That's the most common kind of stuff. Some people make them out of edible substances. But basically this means you will dream of, maybe for a Westerner, you'll dream of a new building being made, mm-hmm. or a marquee of a movie theater, or you know, something that would be suitable, at least symbolic in our culture. Mm. That your house is being refurbished, or suddenly a new wall opened and you have a new built part of your home that you hadn't known about before. Mm-hmm. Be something like that. Mm. That's basically what that's talking about. Is that good?
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Lama Cheng Ngawa himself said, because Aryatara is the collective manifestation of the enlightened activity of all the Buddhas, because she is the unborn and dying. Her yogic method is easily accomplished because we all have the bodhicitta. The recitation of merely 100,000 of her mantra will cause hindrances to be averted. I certainly felt that. Should anyone having the initiation know how to practice the mantra correctly, even though his or her head and limbs are severed, he or she will be unable to be harmed. No, because you can't do anything about accidents. Mm-hmm. Well, what are you doing with your heart? Mm-hmm. If you think that some other thing is making you safe, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And we're back to what is your meaning?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, where's Namgyal Rinpoche now? Mm-hmm.
It's a question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard a few people tell me.
Yeah. There's opinions out there.
And even if the most definite signs of death have occurred, such as many fatal wounds, the life will easily be restored. Someone said once to a teacher, when he was very ill, "Are you dying?" And he said, "Aren't you?" Such is the profound precept for extending one's lifespan through meditation. It does have those qualities, but that's not the point to me. Through meditation upon the wish-fulfilling wheel. May the day be well. Let's read it together. And the night be well. And the midday hours bring happiness too. May both day and night always be well. By the blessing of the triple gem, may all be auspicious. Sadhu. Any last questions, answers, comments, or complaints before I leave town?
Oh, you're leaving?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Don't think it hasn't been fun.
Thank you, Cecily.
Thank you.
Yes.
Are you going to come back next week?
I don't know. It depends on whether or not I'm invited.
Yeah.
Are you invited?
I'll probably come then. Yeah. I have this funny life. I usually go where I'm invited. It's funny, eh?
Can you come back for a longer visit as well, please?
Well, the same answer comes to the question. I think we started that by saying, I think it was what was like 3 weeks or something the first time, and then by the time it actually got to time, I had this much time left, and then I didn't have that confirmed actually, so I marked it on my calendar as if it were, and then waited. Isn't that how it went? Something like that.
We're traveling a lot in between.
We'll see if we can't fix that.
Absolutely, it was my fault. Absolutely.
I'm sure it wasn't.
It was my fault. I was traveling a lot.
Thank you so
I'm
much.
Always traveling a lot, though, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I won't travel next year.
But then you would come here.
He would
just
stay
here.
Wouldn't you have to travel?
No, this isn't traveling.
Okay. Oh, come if I'm not invited.
But you would be invited.
I don't know that. And any other questions, answers, or comments, or complaints? Less interesting than my travel?
Yeah. I have a comment.
Yes.
We have been recording your classes, and we will be making some CDs available to people.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know.
Okay,
and the other thing is there are some of us that do sit with Vaitara on Tuesdays at 5:15. And this sadhana will get fixed a little, and we'll have copies of it here for anyone, and all people are welcome to
I can keep
us.
This one?
Sure.
Oh, okay. So I was going to read you some poetry, but it's getting pretty late. It's 9:15, so the union will be on my tail.
Can you not read one?
Huh?
Can you not read one, please?
Well, sure. I got Bronwyn Wallace back, too. Crazy.
Oh, great.
And I was going to tell you about this book, but I didn't quite get there. This is called Gates to Buddhist Practice. This is a Nyingma teacher. He died a couple of years ago, Chagyud Toku. This is a very nice, very beautiful teaching, especially on the four thoughts that turn the mind. I think you'd find a lot of this book quite wonderful. It's called Gates to Buddhist Practice. And he says things like, in tracing the causes of our confusion and suffering, we come to the fundamental problem of ignorance. The reason we suffer as we do, that we encounter the problems we do, and that we continue to wander in samsara, is that we are unaware of our true nature. This lack of recognition expresses itself in our projection and experience of the phenomenal world, which appears to us as solid, composed of various elements. We are continually under the impression that there is an I poised against everything that isn't I. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Because of this dualistic tendency of mind, we objectify our experiences and make judgments about the objects we perceive. This leads to attachment and aversion, which generate karma and endless suffering. Dualistic clinging, emotional confusion, habit, karma, and the fruits of karma are all consequences of this lack of recognition. This is the beginning of this is just throwing this in as an aside, sort of. Because
yes.
We don't know the true nature of our body, speech, or mind, our environment, the past or future, we take daily events to be true. Just as when we are dreaming, we take our dreams to be true. When we dream at night, in a sense, we're confused because we believe we're actually in a particular place, doing certain things, driving a car, building something, even running from a tiger. In a dream, we remember the past and can anticipate the future. Sky, ground, breathing, swallowing, everything seems real. Actually, we're asleep in bed and nothing is really happening, yet while we dream, our reality is dream reality. If a dream tiger chases us, we run as fast as we can to save our dream life. Once we wake up or become aware in the dream that we're dreaming, our confusion disappears. The tiger has no more power, we're no longer afraid because we realize the whole drama was created by our own mind. As long as we're dreaming and remain in the grip of confusion, hope and fear persist. The consequences seem crucial, but when the knowledge that we're dreaming dispels our confusion, we have no more hope or fear. That's why that is used over and over again. It is not that the relative world is unreal. It is not that a dream is unreal. It is not true that you can say, well, this is just meaningless, it's just a dream. That is not so. When you can see the self as an arising and dissolving phenomena, you don't negate the arising of it. But neither do you believe in the solidity of it. So in the Sakya tradition, they say the difference between sitting in the audience and watching a really skilled magician and being blown away by his skill, not knowing, and sitting in the sidelines, on the side of the stage, and watching the same magician and being blown away by his skill and seeing how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
It's that we're only seeing part of the picture and we believe it to be fully true.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so hard, isn't it, for us to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice, isn't it? Okay, one poem, or is
yes,
that enough?
Yes, please. No, a poem, please.
Do you want Bronwyn Wallace? Do you want... Who do you want?
What about Assistant Clark?
You wouldn't happen to have one with you, would you?
Okay. I don't know if I remember any.
Oh.
It's been so long since I wrote any poetry.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's what she asked.
Yeah.
Let's see what I can remember. You really want to hear some of my poems?
Of course.
God. It's been a long time.
Just a part of one.
Okay, a part of one I think I can do. This one was called Signal Fires in Bolivia.
Mm.
And it's in five parts. So the first part, I started like a megalomaniac. And you know what a gastropod is?
No.
Gastro means stomach, and pod means foot.
Just a little guy with one foot.
It's a snail.
Oh.
It's the name for a snail.
Right on.
Okay. It's the name for a snail.
Thank you.
A simple thing, identity. See, I start like a megalomaniac, as if that were true. Okay, sorry. A simple thing, identity. Rising from the store of memory, it slips us into circumstance as smoothly as a swimmer enters stream. While these eyes perceive light and shade, mind sorts through the past, connects the dots tattooed by sensing, imbues memory with intelligence, meaning, creates a perfect fit. If one is not aware, the present could be swallowed whole, leaving no something for the imminence of mystery. Bits and pieces of this layered life caught in a slip stitch. A slip stitch is what you use in quilting if you've got a whole bunch of layers and you want them not to slip. Mm-hmm. So you make a little stitch that just barely shows on the top. Mm-hmm. Bits and pieces of this layered life caught in a slip stitch. Mm. The disparate, linked by threaded beliefs, disappointments, resentments, refusals to attend, pretending we continue, extend the past by paving the way with what we've already been. Mm-hmm. I imagine myself a gastropoda, a walking belly. Behind me, beneath me, where I slide, a thin, slippery slime, mud exudes, slipping along on a dream into identity. Occasionally, slipstream, I join a greater throng. Often, slipshod, unmanaged, without purpose, without light. Without light, the slime has little effulgence. In the absence of light, rainbows cannot shine.
Thank you.
Okay, that's enough. Thank you so much for inviting me. For your continued attempts and work. I don't make light of it at all. And thank you for your practice. Thank you for your good heart, Vagina. And for your own sweet selves and your friendship. Because as you know, as I tell you every time, my friends keep me honest. And you got your work cut out for you. So thank you.
Thank you.
And notice this beautiful gold light in your hearts. It moves through your body, fills this room, goes out past this house. This light just all through Ottawa, just spreads. Anybody you want to pray for, just imagine them. Through the whole world it goes. Out into space, wherever there is suffering due to ignorance of body, speech, or mind. Just temporarily assuaged, and you think whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is no suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is no suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings. So thank you for your great compassion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.